And this morning's question was asked by Rebecca. And Rebecca asked the question, did God really make everything? And it's a great question. In fact, all the questions that have been asked are great questions. And the reason, though, this morning's question is so good is because we live in a world where many people want to say and believe that God did not make everything. They do not believe that God made anything anywhere. In fact, many people today believe that the world made itself, that it just happened, that the world started with a big bang, a big blast, and from rocks and bits and atoms and molecules colliding with great energy, with a great force, the world just happened. And then from that, the world was formed and the world changed over time. It evolved, evolution, to make humans as we are today and to make animals and birds and sea life that we see today. And as such, people would say, look, there's no great big purpose for us being here. There's no reason really for us being here. We're just to live and then we die and that's it. Now, in order to kind of help you just grasp and see, I want to suggest how unlikely it would be that the world just made itself, that it just happened. It would be a bit like my balloon here. Welcome back, pirate balloons. Now, contained within my pirate balloon is Lego men, broken up into little pieces. And what people would want to say is that, effectively, if we burst balloon, the energy that is within the balloon will create the Lego men from the bits that are within. Shall we see? Be careful, those who are big noise. Careful, front row. Bits flying. I can't guarantee where they will be. I'll do it a little bit low so it just hits feet. You ready? Here we go. You ready? Big pin. We're waiting to see if Lego men are created. You ready? From the Big Bang. Here we go. No, no, the Lego men are still in bits. It's not quite worked. Oh, it's a Lego head. Okay, we'll leave that for later. That's all right. We'll get Lego head later. Now, you could do that every minute of every day for the rest of your life, and you will never see Lego men built or complete. And I want to suggest that the likelihood of a Big Bang, of things all colliding all at the same time with great energy to create this world, is unlikely as those Lego men being formed through the explosion of that balloon. And even if it was possible, you're still left with the question, where did all the bits come from in the first place? And the energy that created it. And I want to suggest that it's highly unlikely. Now, I know some of you are going to say, yeah, but Mark, our science teachers and the science world tells us that's what's happened, that it really did happen that way, and they say that's the fact. And I want to say to you, look, science has lots to teach us, and we are grateful for science. Science is a good thing, and it teaches us lots about how things work and operate particularly. But these theories that talk about Big Bang and evolution, they're just theories. They've not been proven. And there are many, many, many scientists who do not believe that and are not Christians and would hold very different views that it didn't just happen. So I want us to think this morning, if it didn't just happen, if it seems unlikely, and we're going to see, I think, as we go through this morning, why it's so unlikely, then what did happen? How did the world come about? And to help us think this through, I want us to think about the cake. Now, hands up, who's been wondering about the cake from the beginning? All of you, come on. There's no one sitting here who's not thought, cake? Now, come on, tell me, what kind of questions have you want to ask about cake? What is the questions that you want to ask? You know, children and adults, let's start down here. Can you eat it? No. Because I'm miserable. Caroline?
Who made it?
Who made it? Great question. Who made it? That's going to be a question. Wendy, what other question do you want to know?
Why is it there?
Why is it there? Good question.
What are the ingredients?
What's it made of?
Chocolate.
Whoa. Wait and see. Is it just chocolate? Any other questions, Liz?
Who bought it?
Yes. Or who made it? Yeah. Well, they're very good questions. They're excellent questions, Pat. I think there are really four big questions that you want to ask about the cake. You want to ask, why? Why was it made? What's its purpose? What's its reason? Did it just happen to be here this morning? You want to ask the big question, what? What is it made of? You want to know that. I think you also want to know how. How was it made? And the big question of all, who? Who made the cake? Dun, dun, dun. Find out later. Okay, let's turn then. We're going to tackle each of those questions, and we're going to think about the cake, and we're going to think about the world at the same time and see if it works. You ready? Here we go. So, why was the cake made? Why was the world made? Why is it here? What's its purpose? Well, let me ask you the question about the cake first. Why is the cake here for this talk? It's here this morning at this time in this place primarily to help me with this talk, but it also has another reason. The other reason is for tea at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Very excited. We might have some friends come round and join us with it. I can see some of you hoping. And we'll see. 4 o'clock. But the other reason may be just that actually people enjoy baking. They just enjoy baking. Just want to show that actually they're really good bakers. You know, Mary Berry, watch out kind of thing. There's a number of reasons. But just by looking at the cake and the kind of the design and the skill that's gone in it, you know that there's a reason, there's a purpose for it being here. No one here this morning thought that cake just happened to be here. That cake was just in this place at this time for no reason. And I think as you look at the world with all its complexities and its level of skill, you want to say, it can't just have happened. There must be a kind of a purpose, a reason for it being here. And if we're honest, we feel that within us. We know that there's a kind of a reason for being here ourselves. And the Bible says there is a reason, there is a purpose. And the reason that the world was made was for the glory of God, was to reveal Him, was to show His excellence, to show how wonderful, how awesome, how amazing He is. So we read in Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And then Revelation 4:11, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. The Bible says it's for the glory of God. But you see, not only do humans reveal the excellence of God, the entire creation is intended to show God's glory, His excellence. So the stars and the sun and the moon and the sky and the trees and the birds all speak, as it were, of God's greatness. See, creation shows, the world reveals God. It reveals God's power, that He is far more powerful than any other. It reveals His wisdom in creating a world that has order and variety and beauty. Wisdom that is far greater than any other. The world reveals his goodness in his care of his creatures. It reveals his majesty as we witness beautiful sunsets and stunning rainbows. And here's the thing, God did not need to create it to show his glory. He did not need more glory. He had all the glory he needed. He was not incomplete without the glory creation would bring. He wasn't boasting, you know, like the cake maker of the cake might bake and do so to boast, to show off one's baking skills. No, God created to demonstrate his excellence, his character, not to show off, but that he might delight in such creation and enjoy such a creation, and that we might delight and enjoy in him and his glory. See, God makes the world to show his greatness, that we might enjoy and delight in him. See, there's nothing greater in all of creation than the glory of God, his excellence. And so there's nothing better for us to enjoy or delight in. The Bible says the world has a purpose. It's to reveal the glory of God so that we might enjoy him and delight in him and find our greatest joy in him. That's why the world was made. Second question. What was the second question? Children, this is. We might test the adults in a minute. No, not how. What? What's it made of? What is the cake made of? Well, here are the ingredients of said cake. There is eggs. There is flour, just remembering. There is butter or stalk. There is baking powder. There's also some cocoa powder, and there's also a few ingredients that, for decorating. And there's, don't forget the milk chocolate, key. I think I've got all the ingredients there. Yeah. Sorry? Sprinkles. I forgot the sprinkles, but that's all right. And a bowl and a whisk. They're the ingredients. That's what made the cake. Now, the Bible does not teach us the exact ingredients, it were, all the chemicals, the molecules, the atoms, the cells, like I can tell you exactly the ingredients for the cake. But the Bible does reveal something very important about what the world is made of. Have a look at Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2 with me. See, Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2 tells us that in the beginning, are we there? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Genesis 1 reveals that when God created the earth, he created from nothing. It was formless and empty. In other words, he had to make the ingredients before he could make the world. See, with the cake, one goes and gathers them and purchases the ingredients that are already made for us. And then you use them to make the cake. But when God made the world, there was nothing. See, imagine trying to make the cake from this table. What's on this table? Nothing. It's empty. And God makes the ingredients, and then he makes the world. In other words, he shapes and forms and designs from the ingredients he has made. Now, remember our questions right at the beginning when we were talking about the unlikeliness of it, that even if it was likely to happen, this big bang, you still have the question of where did all these things come from that allowed for that to happen? Where were the materials that came together in that big explosion? And the Bible says, at the beginning, there was nothing. And God created even the ingredients that he then used to make the world. He created from nothing. You see, he created everything. So what is the world made of? Everything God made. Everything God made. Okay, next question. Seen what it's made of? We've seen why it's here. What's the next question? How it was made. How was the cake made? Well, here's the thing. We know with the cake, they couldn't just have made itself. That someone followed a recipe. They put the ingredients in the right order with the right quantities, in the right amounts, so that they would then be able to stir a mixture together to then put in the oven to cook at a right temperature. And when the cakes came out, they allowed them to cool before they then decorated and designed in such a way. There was an order, there was a structure, there was thought. Someone had to put these things together in order for the cake to be there. Now, we know that must have happened with something as simple as a cake. And yet, of course, people want to say, the world, that the world was made, in effect, by all of these ingredients throwing themselves together with no help. So I'll stand back. They just throw themselves all together with the right quantities and the right amounts, in the right order, in the right time, to get the right mixture, which then over time creates the cake in such a perfect manner, with such design, with such creativity, with no one doing anything. Just happened. Just with energy. Now we look at this cake and we go, this simple cake with such design needed someone to do that. And yet the world wants to say that these things threw themselves together to make a world. We don't believe that with the cake. Why would we believe it with a world? And of course, the Bible says, no, God created by his word. I don't know whether you noticed in our reading earlier when we read Genesis 1. You might just have a little look with me. Open your Bibles up again, Genesis 1. And notice the kind of repetitive little phrase that keeps going and said. You see at the beginning of verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 14, verse 20, verse 24. What's the phrase that keeps being repeated, Tom? And God said, that's it. And God said, and God said, and God said, God spoke, and it happened. The maker of the cake did not just say, chocolate cake, and suddenly all the ingredients mixed themselves in the right order, because they didn't have the power to be able to do that and to be able to speak such words that created it in the right way. No, the creator of the cake had to do it with their hands. They had to physically do it. But when God created the world, he just spoke. Such is his power. So he said, let there be light, and there was. He said, let there be sky, and there was. He said, let there be birds and animals, and there was. And he said, let us make mankind in our likeness, in our image, and there was. He created by his word. See, far from the world just happening, making itself, it was carefully made with order and precision and detail, all by the very words of God. What's the final question? Who made the cake? Any guesses?
Roz.
Ali. Barney. Yes. Anyone else?
Yeah.
No, not me. Tom?
Nathan.
Nathan and Barney created said cake. And with a little bit of guidance, but the actual doing. And Dad was relegated to washing up. It's a family activity. Such fun on a Saturday morning. Well, the Bible resoundingly says God made the world. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all were involved in creating the world. See, we don't look at this cake and think there's no maker. The very design on top suggests some thought and complexity even. And we look at it and we see purpose, and we know that it's been baked for a reason. And we can see that there must have been some thought in kind of putting the ingredients together. We see that even in this simple cake, complexity and design and thought. So why would we imagine that this world we live in just happened? That is just far more complex and perfectly formed than this cake. Such that this earth is size is perfect. If it were any smaller, an atmosphere would be impossible. We wouldn't be able to breathe. We wouldn't be able to sustain plant life or tree life. Just a fraction bigger. And that atmosphere, what we breathe, how we are able to stand on the ground, wouldn't be possible. That actually the earth is perfect distance from the sun. If it was just a fraction closer to the sun, we would burn. If we were just a fraction further away from the sun, we would freeze. This world is so finely made. Just mere fractions cause the world to not exist. See, we see the cake and we know there's a maker. We're to see the world and we're to know there's a creator, which is exactly what the Bible teaches. See, the Bible answers our questions of why, how, what, and who. Did God really make everything? What's the answer? Yes. This is okay, we're going to work on that. Did God really create everything?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I know some of you might ask, yeah, but did Mark, did he create this building? Did he make this lectern? Did he make this table? Did he make that camera? Did he make that car? Now, okay, God didn't physically make those things directly at this point, in the same way he created a bird or me or you. But God did create the ingredients, as it were, the raw materials we use to create and build. And he made us in his image, such that we are creative and have imagination. And he created the world in such a way that we can look at the world and observe what is happening and figure things out. So we figured out when to plant crops and when to reap them. We figured out there are bones inside us and organs, and we figured out how it works, and we figured out actually we can fix them at times. And we figured out how to build things and make things that are amazing and clever. And we've even figured out how to bake cakes using all that God has given us. See, did God really make everything? Yes. Now, Rebecca also asked a supplement question to this question, which was, what about life on other planets? See, did he make everything and everywhere? Well, we want to say, look, there's no evidence of life on other planets. And it seems, in the way in which the complexity of the world and the ways in which it was, that it's unlikely. But if there was, we'd have to say that God made it as well. See, did really God really make everything everywhere? Yes. Then why do people say he didn't? Why do people say the world made itself? It just happened. Because ultimately, they want to do away with God. They have to be able to explain how the world was made and why it was here and what it's made of without any mention of God. Because fundamentally, people do not want to admit there is a God, because otherwise they would have to believe, and believing would mean living according to God's ways, not their ways. And people do not want that. It's what the Bible calls sin. And yet, amazingly, because God made the world, and because he made us, he sent his son, Jesus, to save the world he had made, the very world that had rejected him. See, these things are connected. It's the God who made the world, it's the God who made you and me, is the same God who sent his son to save the world, to save you and me, to save all those who had rejected him, to save all who would place their trust in Jesus. Who would believe that Jesus, the Creator, died on a cross to take the punishment that we rightly deserve for rejecting our Creator. What a God. And you see, then having saved us, we're restored back to a relationship with God as we were created for, back to serve God as He made us to, ruling and ordering His creation. And what should our response be to such news? First, it should be one of praise. It should be one of praise for such a God. Just as the psalmist declared at the beginning of our service in Psalm 8, "How majestic are you, O God." That should be our response to such news. But it's also our response should be one of trust. Firstly, that we can trust what God says. Because He made us, He knows what is best for us. Therefore, His word is the best thing for us. He really did make everything, you and me. He really does know everything about you and me. He really does know the best way to live. And we're to follow that. But secondly, we can trust His word that no matter what the world says, we'll never have to worry, hear me on this, we never have to worry that the Bible will be proven or shown to be wrong, that nothing will ever contradict it, no scientific theory will ever disprove it. Hear me on that. No matter what the world says, we never have to worry that the Bible will be proved or shown to be wrong. We don't have to be afraid that even though the world will say the world made itself, that somehow the Bible, somehow God got it wrong. No, God really did make the world. God really is the Creator. And more than that, as our Creator, He has sought to save us that we might be His children.